Romans chapter 4, please. Romans chapter 4. Actually, that would be nice. It's Romans 5. I don't even know where I'm at this morning. Sorry. Romans 5. I've been thinking about Romans 4 a lot in the last few weeks, as most of you know. This is the sixth and final message of this series on the subject of justification. I have been preaching on justification by faith alone for 6 weeks, various angles. This morning will be the final one on justification. I'm going to deal, so everyone knows, with various images of salvation throughout the Bible, because the Bible has a lot of different images. New birth, redemption, adoption, election, lots of different language. Because we're trying to understand, may I say this? The author of Hebrews says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Our salvation is very rich. So we're talking of the richness. We have been covering for 6 weeks now just justification. This morning I come to the blessings and benefits of justification. What are the blessings? What exactly do we receive from being justified? Let's all stand, please. Romans 5 and verse 1. We're going to read the first five verses. I'm going to not deal with much of verse 3 and 4, and not all of verse 5, because of just time. We're just going to look at the benefits or the blessings of justification. The Apostle Paul writes, therefore, by the way, therefore, remember all the things that chapter 4 and chapter 3 talk about justification? Because of these things, he says, therefore, being justified, or having been justified, or since we are justified, or because we are justified, all saying the same thing. Therefore, being justified by faith. We have, here's our first benefit or blessing. We have peace with God. How so? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom, back to Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access. That is one of the most precious words in the New Testament. It's found exactly three times. There is no more precious word any place in the Bible than the fact that we have access. How so? By faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3 and 4, because of time, we'll read them, but I will not talk about them this morning. I thought about doing this just tonight. If not, maybe next Sunday night. It's a beautiful text, and there's a piece of it that is a game changer. It says in verse 3, and not only so, but we glory or boast or brag in tribulation, which is really weird. Why would we like problems? He says, knowing that tribulation worketh or produces over time patience or endurance, and patience or endurance produces experience of a very specific variety. Don't have time to talk about. And that kind of experience produces hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Here's the fourth benefit. Because the love of God is shed abroad. This is the one that's used in the Gospels for Christ shedding his blood. This is used for they put new wine in an old container and it would burst that old container. This as if the love of God just burst over you. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. I'm going to talk this morning. It's one of my favorite texts. I preached this text in India at a church with Pastor Matthews, the pastor. The blessings and benefits of justification. Father, help me as I share very simple, beautiful truths this morning. May you encourage us from this just absolutely fabulous text. Lord, anyone in this room, that doesn't know you as Savior. We're not a religious place. We're not a place where you grow up as a Christian. You have to be born again. You have to be justified, saved, redeemed. You have to have a time when there was a before and an after. Lord, my desire, my only desire this morning is that every person in this room, right now, right here, because of Christ and being saved, can enjoy the blessings of justification. May it be so in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever heard this? Membership? Membership has its benefits or privileges. I'm not a member of very much. I am a member of the rewards program for Korean Air. I love Korean Air. By the way, if I had my druthers, I would never fly an American airline the rest of my life. You say, why? Can I ask you a question? Do you think most Koreans are smaller or larger than Americans? Then I got a question. Why is Korean Airlines larger than American Airlines? I like everything about Korean Air. Just about. The cleanest places I've ever been. By the way, you go to the airport in Korea, in Incheon, Korea, it's cleaner probably than your house. Unbelievable. Everything about it. I like the airlines. I like the people. I like most of the food. They do some pasty stuff. Tim, you probably like it. I can do without that paste. You say, what's your favorite part about Korean Air? Miles. So if I fly and I go east, I fly Korean because I get miles. You say, what are the privileges of being part of this? Well, one thing is you can be part in certain airports. Unfortunately, I don't go to those airports. You can actually go to the lounge. Now, of course, I have enough points to go, but there's only two places I go. Korea, which I don't have, the time is wrong there, and Manila, and they removed it from Manila, so there's not a lounge there. But I don't care. They have a bigger benefit. And by the way, Filipinos know what I'm talking about. The rest of you will have no clue. There's only one benefit that matters to me on planet Earth. And you say, what level are you? Well, I used to be morning calm. But now I'm above morning calm. I am elite. You say, how does elite help you? There's only one way that matters. You'd have to go to the airport in Manila to see the line of people. When it's time for Korean Airline to go from Manila to Korea, the line, I'm exaggerating, but not much, is 2 miles long. And can I say this? Filipinos are the nicest people on earth except in a line. You do not want to be around Filipinos in a line because I'm kind of big. And I had a woman one time. She was very tall, kind of like Mutia, very tall. This woman came right into my central area. And I'm not kidding. I was standing there almost with my small central area touching the next person. She just crowded right in front of me. And I'm not only looking at her, I'm looking down on the top of her head. And I'm like, you just did that. Filipinos are wonderful except in traffic and in lines. You say, what's the benefit? Because I am now, are you ready? Elite. When I see that 2 mile line, I just smile. Take my luggage, walk right up to first class. I'm the only one there. Handle my luggage, look back at the 2 mile line and smile and walk right on. Because membership has its privileges. Friends, can I say this? I want everybody in this room to hear me. Pastor Warren doesn't have secrets. Here's my goal for you. If you're not saved this morning, if you haven't been justified, my only prayer is that you are, because I want you to have the benefits are the blessings of justification. Is that fair? No secret here. I want everybody to experience that. Why wouldn't I? Well, you say, what are the benefits? Well, number one, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified. That can be translated, means basically the same thing. Having been, otherwise it happened in the past, and it's a continual state. Having been justified, or because we're justified, or since we're justified, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, the first great benefit is we experience peace with God. There's lots of kinds of peace. My mother, I feel sorry for my daughter, but only slightly, because my brother and I were worse than my grandsons ever have dreamed of being. And I remember my mother used to say to us, "You kids are so loud, you're going to drive me crazy, you're going to send me to..." She had all this because we would get wound up. And my poor mother, that's one kind of peace. Peace of mind, quiet. But friend, there's a greater peace. That peace that we can have because of Jesus Christ, because of what he did on the cross, and because we have then come to him, trusted him, called upon him, he has justified us, we then can experience peace with God. And by the way, if you have peace with God, all of the other elements of peace, they matter, but not much. Because the worst thing that can happen to you is you could die and go be with the Lord, and be with the Lord forever in his presence, because you have peace with God. Paul begins with what, in my opinion, is most needed and most necessary: peace with God. The opposite of peace with God is fear. Genesis 3, verse 6 says this: "And when the woman, Eve, saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves," the King James says, "aprons," meaning they knew. The immediate response is several. When they realized that they were naked, they needed to hide from each other. I mean, they were afraid. The fear starts bubbling up, and all of the insecurities, so they had to cover themselves. Then in verse 8 it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves," listen, "from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." So they were hiding from each other. They were hiding from God. Wait a minute. Look at me. Do you think you can hide from God? Let me ask you, where can you go and hide from God? You say, "I'll take a nap." You say, "I'll get drunk. I'll smoke some marijuana." You think you're going to hide? But they did. I guess they thought that tree was good enough. Let's hide behind the bushes. But that's not the sad part, is this hiding. I hate hiding. When I see people, look at me, when I see people hiding, I know behind the hiding is sin. And worse than sin, that which comes with it. Verse 9. It says, Adam hid himself in verse 8. They and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called into Adam and said, "Where art thou?" Where are you at? By the way, he knew, but he wanted Adam to answer the question. Verse 10. And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was," say it, "I was afraid. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." We could talk much more about this. Fear. The opposite of peace with God is fear, and fear consumes people. They're afraid of everything. Hebrews 2:14 and 15 touch on this subject. "For as much then as the children," humans like us, "are partakers of flesh and blood, he," Jesus, "also likewise took part of the same. He also took upon himself flesh and blood, became the God-man, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death," that is the devil, "and deliver," that's us, "deliver them who through fear of death all their lifetime were subject to bondage." Please look at me. How many of you existed during COVID? Do you remember the first time you went to a grocery store during COVID? My wife said, we're getting low on stuff. I drove from my house. By the way, we were not in church. We were closed down as a society for a couple of weeks. Remember, what was that flattening the curve or whatever lie was told at the time? I drove over to Aldi's to pick some things up at Aldi's. When I walked in the door. You could feel the fear. People were afraid of death. I'll get COVID and die. My friend, a person that is consumed with the fear of death, according to the text, is all of their lifetime enslaved by that fear. The opposite of what Jesus gives us, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. He removes the fear and gives us peace. Peace with the only thing that's important, peace with God. Yes, other things are important, but the center of it all is am I at peace with God? Adam and Eve hid. Most people are afraid all their life. Hebrews 10. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. For all of the God talk, religion, religious language are in a modern America, spirituality, which means nothing. Fear remains the constant. It's the consuming concept of people. They are afraid, afraid. Most of all religions try to find some way of alleviating or eliminating some elements of fear. But the problem is there's so many kinds of fear and so many sources of fear. I don't know how it's written on the board. I'm going to read my notes. There is the fear of death. There's the fear of disease. Wait a minute. Mike, this morning, we found out, is older than 43. I had the privilege of being in the United States Navy and then getting out of the Navy in 1981, and I worked in a hospital setting. I was a med tech. From 1981 to 1988, can anybody just do this? Raise your hand and just raise your hand. I'll call on you, and you tell me the source of fear in America, 1981 to 1988. There was one source. Mike? AIDS. Look at me, friend. I was in the laboratory when CDC and a guy by the name of Fauci first started sending. They were colored pieces of paper from our particular way they sent information. And CDC started saying there are young men in San Francisco that are gay. We could actually say it back then. And they are dying from a particular kind of pneumonia and a particular kind of cancer because AIDS caused both of those. And look at me, friends. We didn't know what it was. We didn't have a name for it. How would you have a treatment? Hey, look at me. I had people I work with died from AIDS. Fear dominated people's lives. You went through COVID, and you know the crazy. I had educated people, smarter than me, much smarter. They got packages from Amazon. They washed the package. Why? Because we didn't know what the problem was. I remember it moved forward and finally, they had all kinds of names, GRID, and finally it came to when I was in the mid-80s, it was HTLV-3. We knew this virus destroyed the human T, not B, lymphocyte. We still didn't have, we didn't know what it was. By the way, we drew blood from people, units of blood, to share with other people. We didn't even have a test for AIDS. We were taking a person with AIDS, taking their blood, sharing it. We had people dying from blood transfusions. Fear dominates lives. By the way, much of psychological problems root back to fear. We're afraid of everything. Friend, therefore, being justified by faith. Listen to the words. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the end of being afraid about everything. The fear of loss, the fear of disease, the fear of war, fear of the unknown. Actually, some people don't even know what they're afraid about. The fear of loss of control, the fear of violence, the fear of theft, the fear of hunger or starvation, the fear of some kind of specific fear that I'm unaware of, specific to the individual. How about this? Just the good old-fashioned fear of fear itself. And all beneath all of that is the fear of God. Look at me. Why are you afraid to die? Why are you afraid to die? Because you're afraid of what? You're not sure what happens after, and if there's a judgment, you're afraid of that. Here's the problem, friend. Why are you afraid? The Lord Jesus came to earth to die for your sins. When we are justified, when we trust Christ, His righteousness is put on our account. Our sin is put on His account. Our sin is imputed to Christ. His righteousness is imputed to us. Our sin is credited to Christ. His righteousness is credited to us. At that very moment, we don't look for it. We have peace with God. So what's the worst thing? There's nothing bad that can happen to you, ultimately. No longer are you afraid of God. No longer are you hiding and running. No, you have a relationship. Because of justification, or since we have been justified, we have peace with God. We actually possess it. We have it right now. Peace with God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not through a religion, not through yourself, not because you're wonderful. Everything comes as a benefit. When I first flew Korean, I immediately liked it. Then I flew a couple more times and realized they had a mileage program. And then when I didn't have to wait for that line, it was like, yeah, sign me up. I'm only taking Korean. Hear me, friend. The blessings, the benefits, because of Christ being justified once and for all, we have peace with God. Can I say this? You ever been someplace and you just want to do this? I can't do it here. You get to a place, you just want to kind of sit down and, for me, I want something to drink. Something good and cold, like a good cherry Pepsi Zero. When my wife and I went to Machu Picchu, look at me. When you go there, look at me. You don't take photos and say, hurry up. You just want to. Do you understand, because of Jesus Christ, you can have peace with God? Let that just blow over you. Let that just saturate in. By the way, there was a before when you had fear, and now you can just experience His peace. Peace with God. Wow. By the way, you want to stand through the lines? Go ahead. I want the peace. I want the blessings. Thank God for them. We look at the second blessing. The second benefit. Romans 5 and verse 2, please. Or 1. We'll read 1 and 2. Therefore, again, I keep saying this because I want you to get the drift. Being justified is fine. Having been justified, because we're justified, since we are justified, by faith, the first thing we experience is peace with God. Verse 2, by whom also we have access. Access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. The second benefit or blessing is that Greek word that's translated access. It is beyond wonderful. It is a word prosagagen, which means literally to take someone and lead someone in. Take someone and lead them in. It means access. And we have access At that moment, we have access to God. It's only found two other times, both in the Apostle Paul, Ephesians 2:18, for through him, through Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access. We, again, have it, access by one Spirit unto the Father. Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access. And we not only have boldness and access, but we have it confidently by the faith which is in him. What does access mean? All right, I'll tell a story. I've told it here in the church one or two times before. It wouldn't apply to anybody in this room, and there are some very smart people I'm looking at. The smartest man I've ever been around was a guy, a member of our church in St. Louis for about a year and a half. His name was Klaus Gernoth. Klaus was a freak of nature. He came to our church, no joke. We lived in it'd be like Cook County. It was St. Louis County. We lived in far St. Louis County, which is not as big. It's about 20, 25 miles from where he lived. He lived in the city. Klaus was a geek. Actually, everything about him was a geek. He was getting his second PhD in theoretical physics. I'll talk to Mike and Pam. I gave Ankit his doctoral dissertation, and Ankit said, no one he's ever met could write something like that. Groups of people write something like that. He was earning his second PhD. He was a freak. You say, why did he come to your church? The road was the same road from West County all the way into the city, 20, 22 miles away, and he didn't have to take a left. Only a weird person. He shows up at our church. He is weird, strange, odd. And by the way, nothing's changed. He's still weird, strange, and odd. Klaus loved our church, loved the guy. He eventually went to Trieste. He finished his second PhD. He told me one time, he says, I do research in two areas. In the one area, there's about four people on earth that understand what I'm doing. And in the other, about eight or ten. He was freaky. He was also weird. He came to my house one night on a Wednesday night. You remember the night. We always bought pizza when Pizza Hut had real pizza. We bought two pizzas, and we would eat, and then I'd give it to him. He'd take it back to where he lived. Well, that night, we were there late. And Klaus got afraid to drive back into the city. So we had another family in our church. Some of you knew. You remember, I called her Shorty. What's her name? Jamie Scowden Vanderwalker. Her family was in our church. And he thought, I'll just go over and stay at their house. It was 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, maybe 11:30. No problem. He drove over to their house, and when he got to the house, only a geeky person thinks this way. He got to their house, he knocks on the door, but he knocks on the door like this. You say, why did you do that? I'm coming to why he did that. Then he knocked again. And then he got afraid, because he's weird. And he thought the police might come and arrest him because he was a German citizen. So he gets in his car, no joke, he gets in his car and just drives in a panic. I remember asking him later, I said, Klaus, if the police would have come and Don and Edna would have come out of their house, what do you think they would have said? We've never seen this guy before in our whole life. They had access. They would give him access. But he got afraid. No joke. You'd have to look on a map. He got on a road. The road goes west. But unfortunately, right after he gets out of St. Louis County, the road does this. Straight north, he drove to Hannibal, Missouri, which is like 100 and something miles away, before he found a hotel. And he was nervous. And I'm like, you had access. You say, Pastor, doesn't everybody have access to God? That's a good question. The answer is, in some ways, yes. All of us, to some degree. Psalm 65. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. By the way, everybody sooner or later gets around to praying. Obviously, Matthew 5:45 says that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, And he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Psalm 145 says, the Lord is good to all. Yes, in some ways, we all have access. But there's different kinds of access. All people can cry out to the Lord. God is not deaf. God knows all things. He's every place. So, yes, in that sense. But I have behind me, there's different kinds of access. Everyone look at me. If you come to my house tonight at 3 in the morning and decide to break in, please look at me. Do you have access? Yes, and you might have a different access when you get through the door. I didn't hear an amen. You say someone might greet you. They might greet you with something. By the way, you can break and enter. That's a form of access, but it's not what the text is talking about. Breaking and entering is not it. It's not a very safe way. You simply say, I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to go to God in my... It's like breaking and entering. It's really not real good. I think I say in the behind me somewhere, you're going to be asked a question, well, how did you get here? Or how did you get in here? Well, there's another way, and this is my favorite. If you remember when President Obama was the president, somebody, I thought, must have, in his brain, deranged brain, thought that like he was a friend of old brother Barack, and decided, I just still remember, he jumped the fence somehow. And by the way, even if you got across the fence, do you know where Barack Obama is sleeping? I wouldn't. The guy got across the fence, deranged person, somehow thinking because he'd seen Barack Obama on television, it must be okay. So he ran towards the place, and then he was kindly, some Secret Service came to him and said, now, dearly beloved, no, he got taken out very quickly. Then there's another kind of access. You say, what kind of access is it? You get people that stalk celebrities. Somehow they see them and think that they know them, and they start fixating. By the way, friend, this access is only by faith in Christ. The benefits don't flow because you want them. The first benefit, it just wafts over us, peace with God. But we also then have an official access to God. What does that mean? Well, it means access. Simply, part of it, 24/7, 365, and I have in your note behind me, I like this statement. We have access to God 24/7, 365 for life. But if you're saved, that's eternal. Now, I have a privilege. Dada, I'm going to ask you, have you ever been to the next place? That is the White Palace in the Philippines. Louis, been there? Ed? Where's the rest of my Filipino? John? I've been there. Do you realize I got to go? What was the president's name, the short lady? Gloria, yeah. I got to go there. Go ahead and show another picture. That's what it looks like. Another one. At nighttime, beautiful. Another one's. That's just a picture of one of the places, and I've been there, Dada. Look at me. Why did I get to go to the palace? Because I'm a white guy. Hey, why do you have access to God? It's one of the blessings of justification. You have access because of Jesus Christ. Look at me. But not for... Dada, I got to go... You know why I got to go there? Because Manong Nelson's uncle was in charge of security. But even he had to go through paperwork for this dumb white guy from America to go. And I got to go when Gloria was there in residence. None of you guys have ever had that. Can I tell you something? It's not what you know, it's who you know, isn't it? And I just happen to know the right. Now, by the way, Manon Nelson's long with the Lord. His uncle's not in charge. And if I went back now, they would put me in jail, okay? But that day, I had... By the way, why can we have this access? Because of the Lord. It also means, and this is precious, it has the concept of an introduction. So it's more than just you go walk through the door, but it's like someone special comes and escorts you through the door. You have an introduction. The word literally means to be brought, to bring someone, you know, to another place or another person. So it's like they're giving you an introduction. The word also has the idea of, look at me. You ever go someplace you're not welcome? Because of Christ, look at me, friend. I don't care where you're from. If you're saved, if you've been justified, not only you have peace with God, but he bring the Lord Jesus himself, because of what he's done, brings you in. You have access. He introduces you. He makes introductions, so to speak. And can I say this? There's a welcome. I have been to places where I didn't feel welcome. Hey, look at me. If you know the Lord, there's a warm welcome. It's like, come on in. I like that. I hope you like that. Well, what else? Well, all of this, access, introduction, and a welcome, is all because of or through faith in Christ alone. It's by means of another. The cross of Christ. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How so? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, by whom? Actually, dia on both sides. It's through Christ. It's through whom? Through Christ. We also have access. By the way, we don't go there alone. We don't have to worry. Will they accept me? Or they used to accept me, but now they won't. They used... No, friends. We not only have peace with God, we have access to God because of Christ. He's the one that brings us. He's the one that gives us access. He's the one that introduces us. He's the one, and it's because of him that we have a warm welcome. Everything through Christ. Let's show the next picture. There's a lovely lady. She's real short over here. She is a very... That's called my mother. Who are these evil people with my mother? Well, my sister, the one in the back, is my little sister, Shirley. She's evil. And more evil is my big sister, Rita. Those are the two evil people in my family. What are some Filipinos doing with my mother? Well, let's look at the next picture. Now they're going out to eat. Where was this at, Dada? Do you remember? Golden Corral. Yes, my mother likes to. Mom even looks happy. Next photo. Hugging on my evil sisters. Go ahead. And there's most of the group. Who's not in? Oh, is everybody in? Oh, PDD's not in that picture. By the way, can I ask you a question? Why were they there seeing my mother? Look at me. Why? Because they know the Son. Do you know how you get to have access to God? Not because you're a Baptist, not because you're religious. It's because of Christ. Do you know the Son? Has the Son, look at me, has the Son introduced you? Has the Son brought you? If he hasn't, there is no access. Well, I have some other pictures. It's terrible stuff. By the way, that stuff right there on the right, I cannot eat anymore, but that in the Philippines, potatoes are rare. This lady can cook. Oh, my. And of course, that pancit, what is that, bihon? Next picture. By the way, you know what those are called? Heaven. They taste like heaven, and they take you to heaven. And she makes them fresh. Next. Well, go back to that one, Tom, if you could. Or who, I think Tom's up there. Christy, whoever's up there. That one over there is one of those, I don't know what they are. They're like stuffed three different things or four things. Oh, my goodness. What are they called? They have like a long name where you put it all together. Oh, it's good food. Now we go to the next one. And we have to go back to those. See, Tita Nins. Go ahead. Those are bad. Empanadas, you wouldn't like them. Go ahead. I just had to show that picture again. Go ahead. That seafood right there, friends, when you walk in that house, that seafood, because they, what do they put in that seafood? No, the smell. Saffron. The whole house. Oh, my goodness. Go ahead. That's the beautiful arrangement of everything under the sun. Next. Can I tell you why I'm showing you these pictures? Because I'm hungry. It's time for lunch. Friends, look at me. When I go to the Philippines, look at me, every time I have a feast like that, you know why? You say, you're special. I'm not even sure they like me. But they like somebody. Go ahead. I just showed that for just for fun. Oh, those are good too. Go ahead. Oh, that's a lovely lady. You say, why do they let you in their house? Because of that guy called Dada. I know their son. And they, you say, do they like you? They tolerate me. But they like him. Can I tell you something? How do you have access to God? Because you're special? You're a sinner just like me. Do you know the Son? I'm asking you a question. Do you know the Son? If you do, here's the blessings. You not only have peace with God, anytime, every time, you can have access, you're introduced, and you know best of all, you're welcomed. Why? Because of the Son. That's what the by the way, I'm not making things up. It's what the text says. The fact is, I'll read it again. Verse 2, by whom also, right before that, the whom is our Lord Jesus Christ, we have access. Yes, friend. Verse 2, the third idea, which I'm just going to mention this morning. It also says not only peace with God, we experience that. We experience access to God. But thirdly, we experience hope and joy in God. The text says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Hope and joy that we will experience everything about God in the future. We have that now because of Christ. Number 4. Verse 5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We experience peace with God, access to God, the joy and the hope that we will be in the very glory of God in the future. And fourthly, we experience the love of God, love from God. God's love, it's like it burst over us. And we can experience someone, boy, I got to be careful. Look at me, please. Everyone look at me, please. I hope I never hear at Lake County Baptist, God loves me just the way I am. No, God loves you because of? He loves you because of his Son. There isn't any, by the way, he doesn't need you. He's not like, I need some help, I need some money. God loves you because of his Son. And because of that, we experience love from God. 1 John 4:19. We love him, why? Because he first loved us. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God. By the way, if you say you love your parents, that's not a big deal. The real issue is, why does your parents love you? They sacrificed everything for you. Can I say this, Clovis? I'm going to tell a story that you told me. It broke my heart. I did not know this. Clovis' father passed away when he was a young boy, and that hurts. My wife grew up like that. And he's in college. I think you're finished or in the process or right at the end of college. Clovis, a good, loyal son. God bless him. His mother has sacrificed everything, I know she did, to make sure you got to college. He's thinking, when I grow up, I'll be able to take care of my mother. Any boy that doesn't think that way should be shot on the spot. I have no patience with disloyal children that their parents gave them everything. Sadly, my friend Clovis, his mother died right at the end when he's thinking about, I'm going to get a job and be able to help my mother. Can I say this to you? Look at me. Yes, you can experience the love of God, but it's not because you're special. It's because of his Son. That's the fourth great benefit. And let me say this. Herein is love. Not that we love God. That would be like me saying I love my mother. Can I say this? I showed somebody sometime this week, maybe one of our teachers, My mom doesn't say to me every time I tell her, and by the way, I'm nervous when people do this. Oh, Ralph, I just love. When people tell me that, I get nervous. But from the day I was born, are you listening, till I graduated from high school, do you know how I know my mother loved me? She took care of every need I had. And hear me, I got the picture on my phone. As far as I know, from 1960 to 1975, she never owned a new dress. Everything sacrificed for the children. Herein is love. Not that we love God. We should love God, but that He loved us. And we get to experience that? Wow. Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and hath given himself for us in offering and a sweet-smelling sacrifice to God. For a sweet-smelling savor or aroma, language of the Old Testament. Galatians 2:20, the last phrase says, who loved me and gave himself for me. I remember talking to a woman years and years ago that said, my dad didn't love me. My dad actually abandoned me. And when she was an adult lady, her mother had died of cancer. And for some strange reason, she just wanted to meet her father. She traces through all kinds of stuff. She finally meets her father. I don't think you've ever met her, but Carol's her name. Carol's about 10 or 15 years older than me. And Carol said, I finally got to see him. I walked into his room. He's in the process of dying. And he says two or three things to her. His first response is, he thought she was the wife, the mother. Age. It's like, what are you doing here? And then he kind of got his head around realizing the mother was dead. And then he basically said, what are you doing here? I paid for you when you were born $5. And he basically told her, I didn't want you then and I don't want you now. You look at me, friend. That is as horrible as it gets. But can I say something? There is a God. No, he does not love you apart from Christ. Every time it talks about God loving us, it's connected to his son giving his life for us. But when we get justified because of what Christ did for us, we can experience the love of God from him. Yes. Even if you had parents that didn't love you. And many of us, or most of us, had parents that loves us. God loves you, friend. He loves you because of his son. He loves you at the cross. And God loves you. Not the non-real you, the fake you, the you. And because of his son, he even likes you, which is weird. This week, I came downstairs one day, probably used the restroom, and out in the vestibule area, my good daughter lets the kids in the nursery, she can keep the littlest baby in the nursery, and they can run up and down, you know, from the nursery down to the end and then run back. Well, one of those boys is Evan. He needs to run at least 100 miles a day to get energy going. They're running, Anna's running, Ben's running, they're just goofing off, having fun. And I got out there by one of the doors, and Evan was walking back, and I was expecting, you know, Evie to come and give me a hug. And out of this door walked. And I saw her, and I got a big smile, and I did this, and she just ran right past me to Evan. She kissed Evan on the forehead, gave him a hug. I don't know if he liked it or not. And then she looked up and said, oh, there's you. You say, were you feeling the love? Not exactly. But I'm okay. By the way, she loves your brother more. Yes, there's just Preston. By the way, I enjoyed that. You know why? Because I love to see love. Can I say this? God does love you. And you can experience that love. And you say, I haven't been loved by my mother, my brother, my sister, my father, my own. Who cares? If you come to Christ because of the Son, you experience the love. And after you get saved, you can experience peace with God, access to God, the joy and hope that we have in God, and you can experience the love of God bursting over you from God. Nothing better. Lord, it is my prayer for those in this room that are not sure they're saved, that on this day they will recognize all of these benefits await them the moment they come to you. Nothing better, nothing more important, nothing like being loved by you. And yes, every person in one sense is loved by you at the cross, but when we get saved, we experience the love of God day to day. Nothing more beautiful. Father, speak, help, open eyes, we ask on this Lord's day, in Jesus' name.